What's Up? My name is Brass Rabbit. You can find me at Brass Rabbit Art on Instagram, and you're listening to Trenton Waves Podcast.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Trent Waves. Frank and Christina Sasso coming at you. No, we're not live, but we are A-Live, right? Yes, so that's always live. Good. Yes, it's always good to be A-Live. We're on a remote location today.
Yes, and it's so cool.
It's very, very cool. We're at what maybe a lot of people know him as, or maybe not, the Hebrew Hammer.
Yes. And why?
Trent's own blacksmith himself is with us, Daniel Lapidow. Yeah. Hello, Daniel.
Hello. Good to be here. It's great to be in my shop.
Well, it's in your shop. It's great to be here for us. Yes. I mean, you're here all the time.
Yes,
so it's even greater for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, this is a remarkable place.
So, yeah, we're sitting in the Blacksmith of Trenton. This shop was built in 1823.
Whoa.
It is the oldest shop possibly in the country, at least in New Jersey. Since the day the shop opened, the doors have not closed.
And it's,
in the beginning, it was a blacksmith shop, wheelwright, and horseshoeing. Now we do blacksmithing and fabrication.
What's a wheelwright?
Wheelwright is someone who made the wagon wheels and the wooden wagon wheels.
There was an actual name for those guys?
Yes, wheelwright. So on the upstairs of the shop is where the old wheelwright shop was. So what they would do is on the upstairs, they had the woodworking equipment to make the wooden wagon wheels. Mm-hmm. And then downstairs in the shop we're standing in now, the blacksmith would make the metal tire. And then they would go out in the yard and assemble them.
Oh,
so it was a two-part job. It was woodworking and blacksmithing. So the tire is the metal rim that's on the wagon wheel.
I would think they would be called carpenters.
No, because carpenters just work in wood. So a wheelwright meant you had the skill to do the metalworking part as well. Because wooden wagon wheels on stone road are not going to last very long. You had to have the metal tire.
First opened by Joshua Jones, yes?
Yes, that's where our documentation starts.
So how far back does this place go to someone that you actually knew?
So Sasha, who is the old master smith, came in 1971. His father-in-law bought the shop then from Edward. And Sasha's father-in-law is from the Ukraine. Sasha's from Russia. Sasha met his father-in-law's daughter, found out her father was a blacksmith. And when they came here, they bought the shop. And I came to the shop around, say, 2010. I came in when I was 13 as an apprentice, just fooling around blacksmithing for fun. I started doing part-time work in the shop for the last 2 years, starting 2016. And then in June of 2019, this year, I left my job, part-time job, to blacksmith here full-time.
Oh, that's so cool. So you're doing what you love to do.
Yes, I'm doing what I love to do. And that was the big thing. I was working out of college. I was working at TCNJ, the college in Jersey, for a special ed program called Career and Community Studies, called CCS. Takes about 40 students, has about 40 students at the College of Jersey with disabilities and let them be, and they can be in college. Mm-hmm. I was actually in that program myself for dyslexia when I went to college. And when I left the program, they offered me a job. So it was a really hard decision because I loved two things. I loved working with my hands. I loved working, doing disability advocacy because I've grown up with a disability myself. But at the end of the day, you know, I couldn't deny that I had to be here. Not being in the office, I loved it working with my students, but I had to be doing this. I always say, you know, when I started blacksmithing as a kid, I would hurt because I was doing physical labor that I wasn't used to doing. Now I hurt if I don't do it. It's not a physical thing, it's a mental thing that I need to be doing this.
Right.
You would think in this day and age, everything digital, everything like you touch a button, it happens, you're done. I would think, and this is just only in my own ignorance because I don't know, how viable is a blacksmith business today in 2019?
It's interesting, as I would say. I have a lot of friends who are blacksmiths all around the world who are full-time smiths. And I would say it's geolocation, your reputation, things like that. Blacksmithing is, all blacksmiths I know do different things. It's still a viable craft. In the shop here, we do a lot of work for industry. We do a lot of work for the city of Trenton, actually. We do a lot of like tools, manhole covers up, jackhammer bits we fix and forge, railings and stuff like that. We still do a lot for in an industrial level. For we have a lot of contractors who do everything from woodworking to stonework, and we make their tools for them. I have friends who are all over the world who do different things for their areas. But we still have people asking, you know, as a fabrication studio as well, we can weld stuff too. You have to find the niche, but people are still coming and looking for blacksmiths. People are still willing to find something that can be done handmade. A lot of historical sites want stuff for their reconstructed buildings or museums. I would say now with the internet, actually, and TV shows and video games, people are gaining respect for handmade art again.
Yeah.
Not art or handmade craft.
Right.
That's really become a resurgence. People don't want to buy something that was made mass-produced overseas that's going to last maybe 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing to pay a little extra money for it to be handcrafted out of original material, maybe, and wrought iron, and have it last for 100 years.
I think that there's a whole new turn to people wanting something that another person has put their hand to.
Yes.
And that is actually, you know, manipulated in a real way, but not by a machine that's just, you're just going to feed it through and then out pops your thing. It's actually, like you said, handcrafted. It's like, well, we were talking to Bill Nobbs. Frank had an interview. He does Analog Trenton.
Yeah.
All his music is analog, the old-fashioned way,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
On vinyl.
And it sounds amazing.
Yes.
And I think there's this resurgence of, yeah, we like the digital, it's easy, it's functional sometimes, but there's that desire to have the human touch. Right.
He talked a lot about analog being limited.
Yeah.
So you're forced to get really creative.
Yes.
I would think maybe you run into some of that stuff too.
You have to be creative at part of it, but as I say, anybody who makes anything handmade, even it comes to like cooking your own dinner,
mm-hmm.
The product at the end of the day, forging or anything like that, the product has a soul at the end of the day, and it means that you put a lot of time and effort into it,
mm-hmm.
and you're happy with it. I had a woodworker come in a while back. I made a fro for him, which is a traditional old-fashioned woodworking tool, and he wanted one that was forged. And he said he wanted it forged because something about the mass-produced ones didn't make him happy working with them. It didn't satisfy him working with
right.
a mass-produced one.
Right.
He had the one something made by hand, he said, because it had a soul, and it was just more satisfying for him.
I see that. I get that. I really do.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do. Now, you say something that's forged as opposed to being fabricated.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference?
Well, forging, what we do in my station and shop is we basically heat up the metal in the fire and hit it with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
We stretch it out. We make it smaller, bigger, longer. We punch holes in it. That's forging, working the metal hot and manipulating it with the hammer and anvil.
Mm-hmm.
Fabrication is our other side of the shop where we have welders who weld it together or machine it. It's a different technique of working with metal.
You still have to heat the metal, right?
Not with fabrication or forging.
Oh.
No, it's all done cold.
Oh, okay.
Forging
but they use like, don't they use like a hot...
The torch. The welding torch,
mm-hmm.
or the welding gun that shoots the welding rod is hot.
Okay.
But it's not as hot as my fire, when
right.
I fly on my
yeah,
fire.
I can see
it's
that.
Not glowing.
So the welding is just to join stuff together.
Welding is joining, machining. We start with a big piece of metal, maybe grind it down or use a lathe and make it smaller or make the shapes. I would do that hot by drawing it down with my hammer or making it, or welding in the fire or punching holes and doing different design, different ways. It's just different ways of working metal.
Are you into Avengers at all?
Yes.
Did you see the first Iron Man?
Yes.
So when he was in the cave...
He forged it, yes, yes.
So he was working with hot or cold?
Well, if I remember correctly...
He's like, bink, bink.
He was doing both.
Okay.
I can't imagine how much of that suit would have been forged, but he was doing both. So with the fire, he does do a little box thing. I think on the mask, he does forging to probably get the shape of the mask.
Right.
Everything else was fabrication.
Cold
work. Yeah.
You realize that's not real.
You realize in the last episode, the science of it is very real.
Yeah.
And I'm not even into science.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you touched on this a little bit, but I always ask all our guests, what in your journey of life brought you to Trenton?
My father, my mother lived in Brooklyn. I have a twin sister, Elizabeth.
Oh, wow.
She lives in California right now. My dad was a lawyer working for Viacom, and he realized at one point he has boy-girl twins, he has a dog and 5 cats and a one-bedroom in a very small apartment in Brooklyn. We should probably move. So he moved to Lawrenceville because it was close to the train station and it was able to still commute to New York, but he wanted to get out of Brooklyn space-wise and crazy. My sister and I were crazy as little. So at the age of 7 or 8... I was diagnosed with dyslexia in the LES, and I went on a journey of finding private schools
mm-hmm.
to help me with my disability. Went to 2, didn't really work out that well. Eventually, at 7th grade, I ended up at a school in Trenton called Newgrange,
mm-hmm.
which is right down the road from our shop. They ran out of church building, and I was blacksmithing a little bit for fun at Howell Farm in Lambertville, where I saw my first blacksmith, and she said, you should check out the blacksmith shop in Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
She has just one you probably drive by all the way on
mm-hmm.
bus to go to school. So I came here one weekend with my mother, and we met Sasha, and she said, and I started working here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was originally education-wise
mm-hmm.
to find a school that helped me with my disability, teach me the way I need to be taught, and then I ended up here through that school.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. cool. So it's almost like meant to be.
It's yeah,
like
it was meant
road,
to be. Yeah, yeah. My father almost moved to, before we moved to Jersey, he had a very good job offer in Texas.
Oh, Oh, wow.
So we almost moved to Texas. I don't know where my life would have been if we went to Texas.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So now you're in Trenton now? You live in Trenton?
I still live in Lawrenceville. Okay. But I basically live in Trenton because I live in my shop.
You live in your shop. There
yeah,
you go.
I'm here. This is where I want to be. Yeah. So I live in Lawrenceville. I lived in Ewing a little bit when I was at TCNJ for school, and I lived there before, when I worked at the college a little bit. But I live in Lawrenceville, but I sleep in Lawrenceville, let's put it that way.
Yeah. But your life is here.
Yeah, in the shop, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you acquire the shop from Sasha? Was Sasha the original owner from when you knew it?
Yeah, Sasha's been the original owner. I was with him, from like 13 on. And at TCNJ at the college, at the CCS program, I worked here part-time for 2 years through an internship at the college. It just got to the point where I was working at the college the last 2 years. I was working here part-time. And Sasha said to me one day in his traditional way, when I was leaving at the end of the day, he goes, "You gotta get better." I said, "I know you gotta get better. It's all about learning." He goes, "No, I'm gonna leave you the shop," and walked away. Oh, so I was like, okay. Wow. And I tried calling him. He didn't get back to me because he's a jerk.
Because he's a jerk. I had a run in with Sasha before.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice guy.
I think he's lovely.
Yeah, you do. What did he say? Some people don't have good taste? And he was referring to...
Your bald head, probably.
Yeah, but meaning my wife's taste. Yeah. In men.
Yes, yes. He's interesting, but he left me the shop, so we're in the process of the paperwork now of transferring the ownership.
That is so awesome. Yeah. Wow. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah. I guess he just liked me enough for I've been here since, always been popping my head in. I love history, so I really bring up the history of the shop and, bringing people in from we just recently did Art All Day last Saturday.
Yes.
And that was, last year was the first time doing Art All Day in the shop.
So you had people come to the shop?
Yeah, the shop was open.
Was that the first time, you said
that? Last year was our first time doing Art All Day, and it was, okay. To get him to do it, was pulling mm-hmm. teeth. It was,
hey, you're Sasha. Oh, you're still here. Yes! I'll be right back. I'm going to take a run to Walmart.
No problem.
Don't forget, Dink is in charge.
Yes, Dink is in charge. The dog's in charge. Yeah, so I guess he's liked me enough. You like the fact that a couple times I think he wanted to sell the shop and move away, but I would always make a fuss. Like, well, I'm still learning. I want to do this. I want to do that. I think he just liked the spark that I had in Black's thing. He says that sometimes I remind him of his younger years, just liking the way metal, moving metal. Mm-hmm. And so he decided to leave me the shop. And wow. When he's gone, I'll be the next Black's thing trend.
Oh, wow.
That's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say Dinka has joined us.
Yes,
Dinka is the shop dog. Yes. And she's a sweetheart.
Her name is Ukrainian for melon.
Melon?
Her name is technically Melon.
Wait, it's Melon?
Dinka is Ukrainian for melon.
Melon.
Her name is Melon.
I had a question about Art All Day.
Yes.
So how was the response?
It was great. People kept saying, I drive by the shop all the time and never knew you're still open. Well, because we get here crazy hours, mm-hmm. We get here when we get here and we leave when we're tired. Mm-hmm. We don't have like a 9 to 5 hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, we get here, sometimes I get here at 6 in the morning. People say, the shop's, but I've been grew up in this neighborhood, never seen a shop open. So happy to see, we remember hearing about this guy, Sasha. I go, well, he's in the background now, mostly. Mm-hmm. I'm the box of the tread. And so it was a great reception. No, I just love sharing with people. As I said, I was making, I was having a fun time. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of traveling shows like the Mercer County 4-H Fair, or all nights, mm-hmm. other shows where I travel around with a portable forge and anvil and demonstrate. Mm-hmm. But it's something much more different when you're in your shop and all your tools are here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can be a lot more creative and expressive and do more.
Plus, the shop is so cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people just walk around the shop and saw the pictures and just all the old stuff on the walls.
Well, it's an experience just walking in here.
Yeah, you literally could come in here and spend, I could spend hours just looking at all the stuff there is to look at.
I probably found 90% of the stuff that's in the shop. I'm still looking for things.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like, it's just like a treasure trove in here. It's so wonderful. Yeah.
For example, what's in the shop for RL Day, the people who had their studios open got to put a sculpture and artworks. Mm-hmm. I have a sculpture in there called Trend Roots. And it's actually made from a Trend Railroad track from mm-hmm. Trend Railroad, chain link from Roving Wire Works, and a railroad spike from Trent Railroad that I just found upstairs in the shop in the attic.
You just found
And Sasha said, that's from that place, and that's from that place. I go, okay, this has become a sculpture, not just rusting away.
Yes, it was right at the front as you just walk in. Remember? I think I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad that you had people coming in. And because I was the same way. I remember driving by the first time and going, did I just see a blacksmith shop? Yeah. And at that time, the doors were open. I think somebody was working out.
Must have been Sasha.
It must have been, because this was years ago.
Yeah.
But then, because I don't usually come this way, it loses your... And then we saw you at...
Tram Punk Rock Flea Market.
It was the Punk Rock Flea Market, yeah.
Yes! Yeah, yeah.
The blacksmith!
Yeah.
So.
And your whole look is that of a blacksmith. It's it's got the beard, the glasses, the hat on. It's just a very cool look.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Love it.
All right, go ahead, ask
me. All right, so I got some questions.
All right.
True or false? Coal forges in a blacksmith's workshop... reach temperatures of roughly 1,600 degrees.
False, because they get way hotter than that.
How hot?
3,000. I told you this morning, by the way.
Yeah, but they didn't know that. Okay. Podcasting doesn't know that. All that's needed to forge metal is coal and borax powder.
No, it's heat and pressure. There are people nowadays who blacksmiths have forges that run on propane gas, and borax is used for welding in the fire. It's a way of welding metal. Something you can do in the forge called forge welding, where you get the metal so hot that actually fuses together.
Right.
And borax is used as a flux to keep the metal clean when you weld it. But my first forge was a hole in the ground with my mom's hair dryer.
Really?
Yes. So all you need is heat and pressure. In this case, the pressure is a hammer and anvil. All you need is heat and pressure.
So basically, that like prevents oxidation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. What to clean it.
All right. So far, you're doing good. Preferred metals are iron and steel because of their strength and durability.
Well, preferred metals are wrought iron, which is the original metal made from smelting iron ore, and steel. Depending on what type of steel you're using, there's mild steel, which has a low carbon alloy, more than iron, and there's high carbon steel, which is used for making tools or blades. Depending on what the piece is being doing, you have to make it out of the right material.
Oh, he's doing really good. All right, hang on, Dan, because maybe this is something that's going to really throw you. Uh-huh. A traditional blacksmith will use one of these four elements: earth, air, water, and fire. True or false?
We use all of those elements. Iron ore comes from the ground, and coal comes from the ground. It's earth. Fire is used, a byproduct of the coal being on fire. Water is used for heat treating and cooling. And air is what you use to get the fire hot.
Yeah, so you're saying false?
Yes, false. Yes, sorry. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Okay.
A good student can become a blacksmith in about 2 years.
Gotta be a really good student. You're always learning. I've been blacksmithing since I was like 7. I'm still learning. So traditionally,
but you're a blacksmith.
Yeah. But a traditional blacksmith apprenticeship usually lasts about 5 years in the old days.
That's actually right. It is 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. I'm sold.
So let me ask you this: since we're talking about apprenticeship, are you looking for an apprentice?
So in the shop, we give lessons on weekends.
Oh.
And I have a kid that's been working with me about 2 years now. His name is Henry. Mm-hmm. He's from Yardley, and he works with me. He's my apprentice.
Oh, okay.
And mostly, I make him lift the heavy stuff when I go to shows.
That's always handy.
But apprenticeship, we do have someone that's come by the shop a couple times. David, he's an apprentice. He's in the union apprentice boilermaker. He spent a week here doing odd jobs. But apprenticeship would be, you know, someone who comes in, spends about 2 or 3 hours grinding or polishing work or drilling holes, doing donkey work basically. Mm-hmm. And then if I feel like it, I'd show him how to do something on the anvil. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have the time, have the patience or time to do this. So we do, on weekends, we give lessons.
Okay.
We have regulars that come in on weekends, and you can take a lesson here on weekends for about $25 an hour.
Wow. Yeah. I never knew that.
Yeah.
So there you are. Mm-hmm. There are classes on weekends, mm-hmm. and you can come and learn some of the tricks of the trade. Yeah,
the techniques of working hot metal.
Absolutely.
Now, in this high-tech business...
Yeah.
Can they go and register online?
No. You can email me. You can email me.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. All right.
Email, text, or call Reserve a Forge. Now we're so busy that I have a backlog of students. You have to make an appointment.
Wow.
It's all about making an appointment, yeah.
Woo!
It's not open class. You have to make an appointment.
This is great. I'm so happy.
It's really, really good to know this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, because you drive by and you say, oh, look at that. Wow, you guys are rocking it out.
Yeah. They need help. They're fine.
Yeah. They're fine. Yeah.
So now, okay, so you have that. You have classes. What about doing the actual work?
We get, through my website, my Facebook, people talk to me for seeing me at shows, mm-hmm. the reputation of the shop. That's probably someone calling about
lesson.
Someone's calling the shop.
Yeah.
And probably might be a spam call. We get a lot of those too. But we get calls about work. Right now I'm working on a table starting the end of this week. That someone called the shop and heard about the Blacks on the Trend and said, Google Blacksmith, they found us. Mm-hmm. And they found our number. So
They commissioned a table.
They commissioned a table, yeah.
Oh, so who designs the table?
It depends. This person designed the table.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I design it. Sometimes, you know, the client designs it. But it's all about, they just had a design. I said, that's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get my metal from a supplier in Lambertville called mm-hmm. Finkel's. I usually go to Finkel's. They have a big steel yard of a good mm-hmm. steel, mild steel, the general material I use. They only had what I needed was an odd size, and they had a little bit, so I ended up driving to a place about 45 minutes away and finding more steel of that size. Mm-hmm. One thing we do a lot of the summertime is make barbecue grills out of oil drums.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're usually all around the shop in the summertime. And then
I think I saw one outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just usually one outside. We usually order from a steel company that delivers, but that's like, because we know we're going to be making a ton of these. Mm-hmm. So the table was someone called. They came in. Mm-hmm. We went over design and worked a lot with over email and phone. Mm-hmm. And that's going to start probably on Friday.
Now, you like the things that you design or the things that people bring in that you're going to make, are they old-fashioned looking or are they modern looking?
Yes and no. Yeah, both. Okay. This table is very modern.
Oh, okay.
Being made with traditional blockfitting techniques, but mm-hmm. it's very modern looking.
Okay.
We do have a lot of older work, hinges and hardware that get made here, mm-hmm. traditional ironwork. Sometimes people want something that's very modern, but they want looking older, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just a way of... The elements, the decoration or the texture of the metal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, because sometimes you would think, like folks out there, that, blacksmith, it's always going to be like from the 1600 look. Yeah. You know, we want the medieval look, but it's not. You could do something really sleek and modern.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't do any work with aluminum, right?
We do.
Do you really? What?
We can weld aluminum. We have an aluminum welder, and there's certain grades of aluminum that you can forge.
Really?
There's a grade of aluminum that I know of that's called 6061, which is used a lot of construction and airplanes. And that actually can be forged. It's very tricky to forge it.
You've done it before?
Yes. It's a lot of fun to play with. It's like forging butter. But it also melts very easily and it breaks very easily, but you can forge aluminum. We've worked on aluminum, brass, bronze, not just iron and steel.
If you were to imagine your ideal Trenton, mm-hmm. what does it look like in your imagination?
Being a blacksmith, I would love to see the old, industrial Trenton again. When the first anvils made in this country made a Trenton, they're Fisher Norris anvils. Mm-hmm. Sasha once took me a drive and said there was a blacksmith shop there on the road, or Trenton, Trenton mixed world takes. I'd like to see that again, the industrial aspect of Trenton again.
Oh, cool.
Because I do a lot of colonial reenacting. Mm-hmm. Doing Revolutionary War reenacting. And I always tell people, back during Revolutionary War and before it, a lot of big metal products were lost. You couldn't make them in the colonies. They had to come from England. Mm. And once we became our own country, George Washington set up the hub of industry in Trenton because it's between Philadelphia and New York, two of the biggest cities in the world. Mm-hmm. So there was woodworkers, blacksmiths, pottery, casting, metal foundries all over Trenton. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see that again. That was just in my selfishness of being a craftsman, I'd love to see the industry back.
Yes.
The old Trenton from back in the day where they made things.
That would be cool.
It always amazes me when you ask that question, so what some of the answers
are. Yeah, it's always, mm-hmm. it's similar and different, and it's always interesting. Do you do the Washington's Crossing?
Yes, I'm actually one of the headsmiths at Washington State Park in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
And to promote, you mentioned about promoting, on December 8th, which is Sunday, December, I believe, we will be doing the Christmas Crossing rehearsal. So Washington Cross State Park is where George Washington crossed Delaware to get in Jersey to fight the Hessians mm-hmm. during the Revolutionary War. On Christmas Day, they actually do a crossing. They actually will cross the Delaware and do a rehearsal of it. But usually the first Sunday of December, they do the reenactment rehearsal, mm-hmm. where they don't just cross, they have the whole village open.
Okay.
I will be in the blacksmith shop at the Washington Cross State Park in my colonial garb, using a hand pump bellows with the other blacksmiths there and the other craftsmen, mm-hmm. and demonstrating colonial boxing.
Cool.
Basically, making
people can come and meet you.
Yeah, it's a really cool event. Not just see me. There will be a bread baker. There'll be cooking. There'll be the young kids or anybody of any age can join the militia and join the army, mm-hmm. and they will cross. They'll try to cross Delaware for the rehearsal.
Okay, so that's December 8th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 10 to 4.
10 to 4.
Washington Crossing, Historic Park, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
So it's like a mini Colonial Williamsburg.
It's a very mini,
right?
It's a mini Colonialsburg. Okay. We have to pack everything up in there.
You gotta get down there, dude.
Yeah.
To Colonial Williamsburg.
I've been trying to get down there for a very long time.
Yeah.
I know the blacksmiths there, they're very talented. And now that I'm doing full time, I might even try to get work there for a month or something. They have internships there.
Oh.
That'd be really cool to do. They're very talented smiths.
We went down there and we went to the blacksmith, but we actually really spent a little bit of time at the silversmith.
Yeah.
And it was a woman. It was really hot that day. She's full dressed, colonial garb. Mm. And I'm like, how do you not just say, I'm wearing a tank top today? I can't.
She gets fired if she wears a tank top.
I know, but she was like, you know what? You just drink a lot of water.
Yeah. So,
what do you do? You must deal with that in the summer.
So, on the 4th of July, Washington Cross State Park has another festival, the 4th of July Festival. Mm-hmm. And I have done that festival for about 7 years now. every year I walk out of the shop on the 4th of July, I say, I'm never doing this again for you guys. I'm never doing this again. And I end up doing it again because I love it. Yeah. It's just kind of warm.
Yeah, kind of warm.
This shop gets pretty, the box of the trading shop gets pretty warm too.
I would imagine.
Open the doors, we can have fans in here. We have fans. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in Colonial America.
Right.
Get yelled at. I once had one of those, when I first started volunteering there, I once had one of those mini spray bottle fans, and mm-hmm. I got yelled at pretty badly for pulling it out.
Wow.
Come on. Also, I mentioned December 8th. December 7th was the Saturday before the crossing rehearsal. I'll be at Trend Punk Rock Flea Market, New Shamany Creek Brewery in Pennsylvania for their holiday market selling my work.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta come out and see Dan's work. It's really, really cool. I love the snakes. I love the horse heads. Cool stuff.
And also Sasha has some sculptures too.
Sasha used to do a lot of sculptures back in the day. He said shows are all around the world.
Yeah.
And they're just lying around. They're all over the shop.
Yeah, it's an amazing shop. You could spend hours wandering.
If everyone wants to make an appointment, come by and see. I'm free. I love giving tours and giving the history.
Where can people find you? Where can people go and see your stuff? Where can they find you online? All things Daniel.
My blacksmith alter ego is called the Hebrew Hammer Blacksmith.
Love that.
When I was
it's like a wrestler.
When I was 16, I was blacksmithing. I was at a conference, and some older guy tried to insult me, something about some racist stuff. He said, "You're a Hebrew hammer." Can I go? Thank you. That's my name. And he got really upset. And I was like, "No, thank you. That's what I'm gonna call myself."
That's right up there with Dirty Old Robot.
Yeah. If you Google the Hebrew Hammer Blacksmith, you'll find my website, my Facebook page, Instagram. You'll find everything. I try to keep everything up to date, pretty much what I'm doing on the website and Facebook page. My name is Dan Lapidow. My email is dlapidow@verizon.net. And you can always email me about the shop, or you can just, if the door is open, come on over and just say hi.
Tell them you heard the show.
Yeah.
What's the phone number?
917-886-8267 is my cell. I prefer my cell because sometimes I can't hear it when I'm forging.
Okay. That makes sense. But you can feel it vibrating.
If you Google the box of the Trenton, you'll find our number online.
Oh, this was so wonderful.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That thank you cool. so much.
I'm so glad we finally were able to hook up.
Thank you. That's great. Yes. Happy. Yes. And good luck to you and blessings on the shop.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you for also being a listener.
No problem.
Oh, yes.
I enjoy the podcast
really
very much.
That.
Well, that will be it. Until next week, this has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.